Jerry Bader Show, 10:06. We're moving on, yet moving back. Allow me to explain. In the 9 o'clock hour, I talked about an email exchange I had with Greg Borowski of the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel on PolitiFact. Greg is upset with me. Greg has sent an email expressing that he's upset with me. He makes an accusation which is false. So I want to address that publicly. So much for sincerity is the subject line. If you're going to pretend you're asking a question for your own benefit, then turn around and use it. The least you can do is include the response in its entirety. Good riddance. Greg, why in God's name would I ask for my own benefit? I never said such a thing. I said he seemed to imply, in fact, I don't know if I can, hang on a second. Let's see if I included that. I don't know if I included that in the right Wisconsin piece. I have the original email. I told him I sincerely wanted to know whether they present PolitiFact as opinion or factual reporting. I didn't say for my own benefit. What I said is I had no agenda. I want to know. I said, I'm not looking for you to convince. I'm looking for you to inform. What gave you the idea that was just for me? So in other words, if he thought I was going to use that, he wouldn't have responded. Let me tell you something, Greg. I often speak with members of the media, the, as Charlie Sykes and others calls it, the dead tree media, and tell them this is off the record. I assume you understand off the record, Greg. What in God's name made you think that was off the record? All I said is, no, I'm sincerely asking. I want you to inform me. Why do you think I wanted you to inform me so I could use it? At any time did I say off the record? Just, it's the same way that he felt the listener who tipped me off to the initial exchange. And by the way, if you don't know what this is about their unfair treatment, Scott Walker versus Mary Burke. Boy, they're rather thin-skinned over there, aren't they? They want to live in this fantasy world that PolitiFact really is this truthful arbiter of what's real and what isn't. And by God, if anybody questions that, well, you're just a natty person. They are far more thin-skinned than even I imagine them to be. Now, I doubt that Greg is listening right now. I did respond to him and say, I said I sincerely wanted to know. How do you read that to mean I'm not going to use it? And he's also upset I didn't use the whole response. I don't see what in his whole response he thought would help. I didn't do it, by the way, because I thought the rest of the response helped his cause. So what I will do is, if I can find it, I'll read it. I've got it here somewhere. I will read the whole thing. I will read that whole exchange. And I think it illustrates I in no way tried to deceive him. Boy, he doesn't think that he should be stated on the record defending this thing. He didn't like the idea that the listener shared it with me. My. For someone in the media who realizes it's their job to go snooping under other people's dresses, he's not real comfortable with it, is he? You're never supposed to turn that thing around on them. But I take this very seriously. I did not in any way intend to, nor did I, deceive Greg Borowski as to my intent when I asked him that question. If he read that, he inferred that in that email, that's an inference that he picked up. It is not anything I implied. My. But you can go ahead and call the governor of Wisconsin a liar factually, and that's okay. You shouldn't be called out on that. What I once got in trouble for, and now apparently it's just journalistic practice. It's just okay now. Yeah, I do get hacked off when people falsely accuse me. I really do. I'm going to dig up that email thread, and I will try to get to that before the end of the show. I got to reach over and get another story. See, I thought I was done with all of this stuff. All right. The unemployment rate is down, which is about as deceptive as you can get. The unemployment rate fell. The jobless rate fell to 6.7%. However, payroll gains were much smaller than anticipated. 74,000. It was anticipated to be about 200,000. 197,000. Why did this happen? Because a lot of people have given up. That's why the unemployment rate fell. Those measured among the unemployed, they're not looking for work anymore. So they what I'm saying is they should be. They should be numbered, but they're not because they've stopped looking. So that artificially drops the unemployment rate. This is a very disappointing report. The Dow's off only slightly on this news, but it's a very disappointing report. Now, what's going to happen with the fact that you got two things going on here. Liberals want to take this and say, see, the jobless rate is down. On the other hand, they're going to want to take the poor creation and say, see, this is why we need to extend jobless benefits. They're going to try to have it both ways here. Well, things are getting better, but they're still bad. So we need to increase to extend the jobless benefits. I and others have made the case for a long time that increasing jobless benefits or extending them extends joblessness. It is a disincentive to work. That argument is rejected summarily by the left. Market Watch earlier this week, a product of the Wall Street Journal. Wall Street Journal's Market Watch blog did a piece on this. What happens when jobless benefits are cut? North Carolina may offer clues. Last summer, North Carolina slashed the amount of cash it gave to people after they lost their jobs, and the state also reduced the number of weeks they could receive benefits. Within several months, unemployment rate fell a few ticks, and by November, it fell to a five-year low. Similar, though less dramatic, declines occurred in Georgia and South Carolina after they made benefits less generous starting in 2012. Vindication for critics of extended unemployment benefits? Hard to say. It's the experience of just a few states, and others have also witnessed sharp declines despite retaining more generous benefits. Indeed, the national unemployment rate has fallen by nearly a point in the past year. Still, it's worth taking a look at North Carolina's experience. Here's the backstory. States can borrow money from the U.S. government to pay for regular unemployment benefits that usually last 26 weeks. North Carolina was hit particularly hard by the Great Recession, and when unemployment soared, the state eventually found itself knee-deep in debt to the feds. Only the much larger states of New York and California owed Washington more money. Republican Governor Pat McCrory responded after taking office in 2013 by pushing a measure to cut weekly benefits to a maximum of $350 from a previous high of $535. And people could only draw benefits for 12 to 20 weeks instead of the normal 26. The law took effect July 1st, 2013. McCrory's goal was to curb the state's growing debt to the U.S. government and forestall the need to raise taxes on local businesses to pay for benefits. In other words, it couldn't be afforded. He argued that higher taxes would only stifle hiring in a state struggling to generate new jobs. His approach also appealed to many conservatives who believe generous benefits deter people from looking for work, as I do, or accepting available positions that pay less. Independent economic studies support that view, though the added increase in the unemployment rate is viewed as small. So studies say, yeah, people, you extend jobless benefits and you extend joblessness, although they say it's not a big impact. The move to cut state benefits caused even bigger hardship for the unemployed in North Carolina because it made residents ineligible to receive extra cash payments offered by the federal government. Washington requires states to pay a certain level of regular benefits to qualify. As a result, some 70,000 North Carolinians lost out on on extra federal benefits at the end of last June. So, what happened? North Carolina's jobless rate rose a notch to 8.9% in July and then began a steady descent. 8.7% in August, 8.3% in September, 8.0% in October, and a preliminary 7.4% in November. 1.5% drop, according to the U.S. Labor Department. That's the lowest rate since 2008, though monthly numbers are prone to sharp revisions, and we have seen that debate here in Wisconsin. Government data also shows that more than 22,000 North Carolinians found work since the cutoff, and the number of unemployed sank by nearly 73,000 to 344,000. What the data doesn't tell us, however, is what happened to all the people no longer classified as unemployed. When some found a job, others may, while some found a job, others may have retired, ended up on welfare, moved in with family members, sought disability payments, or fled to a nearby state with better benefits. We just don't know. And I will absolutely concede that there are a lot of variables that go into this. A lot of factors that go into this. All of that is true. So you can't look at this and say that there's an absolute direct cause and effect. But I think it's clearly a factor. Not the only factor, but a factor. Push comes to shove and you've got to take something. You will take something. You will take anything. That is simply not true when you're on unemployment. Some people will, some people won't. Now, this gets difficult. Well, what if they really can't find anything? I understand that, but then how long do you extend the benefits? How long do you go? I put quite a bit of credence in this that it illustrates that saying, sorry, you're done with jobless benefits, does in fact push people to go and find a job. In fact, it seems pretty basic on the face of it, does it not? This, of course, will be summarily rejected by the left. No, you're just heartless. You don't care. I think the and there are other studies out there that show that this is true. All right, on to other things. What I'm going to do in the next 5 minutes is I'm going to find my email thread with Greg Borowski and share it with you. Because what he's accusing me of is simply false. Greg, did you know I was going to use this email on the air? It's 1019.